This couple would take a trip in the cold winter weather of Canada. Did they both really take a digital detox? And yet the detox is just a cover to hide the fact that only one person would possibly return? Listen more to find out if this is the case, or was it just a plot to something even more sinister? Trina Hunt was born on June 6, 1972, to her parents, Diana and Charles. She grew up with one brother, Brad. Her friends and family have done a great job sharing stories and keeping her memory alive. Trina seemed to embody warmth, selflessness, and love. She had an unmatched zest for life and was the kind of person you'd walk away from feeling happier. Her brother Brad says she had a knack and passion for making people feel loved and special, always prioritizing others' comfort and happiness over her own. Spending time with loved ones was a huge priority for Trina. She was always planning events, thinking of ways to bring everyone together and create special memories with those she loved. Those closest to her describe her as loyal, bright, and down-to-earth, with a heart of gold. The continued online support for Trina has shown just how important she was to others and how her death impacted not only her family and friends, but an entire community in Port Moody, British Columbia. Going into 2021, Trina was 48 years old and living in the Heritage Mountain neighborhood of Port Moody, British Columbia, with her husband, Ian Hunt. She and Ian were high school sweethearts, starting to date their senior year after he transferred to her school. Later in life, Trina began working at Shaw Communications, a telecommunications company, but in 2019, she was fortunate enough to retire. She had always been a hard worker, and retiring in your 40s is a huge accomplishment. Despite retiring, she maintained close relationships with her former co-workers, which, given what her family and friends have shared about her, should not surprise anyone. She was the kind of person who made friends and kept them for life. As for Ian, he was the CEO of Clean Tech Service Group, a commercial cleaning company based in Richmond, British Columbia. They didn't appear to be any major problems. Of course, that doesn't mean they didn't have any, and they were probably the only two people who truly knew what was going on in their marriage. Going into 2021, everything seemed normal. There was no indication that anything bad was about to happen. But something bad did happen. On January 18th, Trina disappeared, leaving her friends, family, and the whole community of Port Moody devastated and confused. To explain the circumstances surrounding her disappearance, starting with January 14th and 15th. This is a small yet important detail. On the 14th, Trina was seen on a few surveillance cameras near several different retail shops. It was a confirmed sighting of her just days before she went missing. Then came the 15th, which was a Friday. Trina spent part of the day texting with a friend who lived in Ottawa, as Port Moody and Ottawa are basically on opposite sides of Canada. The two of them were trying to coordinate a virtual cocktail date. Like the surveillance footage from the 14th, it was the last confirmed and reliable conversation that Trina had before she went missing. That brings us to Sunday, the 16th. According to Ian, he and Trina decided to take a day trip to Hope, British Columbia, which is about an hour and a half away. They specifically went to visit a campground they used to go to when they were younger. He says they drove his gray BMW, made no stops on the way there, and no stops on the way home. He also says neither of them brought their phones because, according to Ian, Trina said she needed a digital detox. At the time, COVID and Trump were dominating the news, and it was really bringing her down. So, neither of them brought their phones, and because of that, there is no digital trace of either of them that day. An old coworker of Trina's tried texting her twice that day but didn't get a response until the following evening. Ian says they got home later in the evening on the 16th, though he doesn't remember exactly what time. He said it was early enough for them to watch a movie before going to bed. When it comes to Sunday, the 17th, Ian has given a very vague account of how they spent the day, so vague that her family and friends are still unsure about what they actually did. All they know is that Ian claims they spent the day together. That evening is when Trina's phone finally responded to her former co-worker's texts. The response from Trina's phone said, "Too funny. Delayed response because I'm trying a digital detox this weekend. Haven't touched my phone all weekend." The former co-worker replied, saying, "Wow, good for you. Must be so much harder stuck at home." To which Trina's phone responded, "Amen. I am sure you picked up on the fact that I said Trina's phone responded, because many people believe it wasn't actually Trina who sent those messages. Based on the blunt responses and lack of emojis, those close to her are not convinced the messages came from her. This brings us to January 18th. That day, Ian says he left for work around 6 a.m., and he confirmed that Trina was home and asleep when he left. He also said that, because he didn't want to wake her up so early, he decided not to set the alarm system the night before. Ian says he headed off to work that morning, and when he returned around 4:30 p.m., he found Trina's phone, wallet, keys, and car, but no sign of Trina herself. It was also noted that the door was unlocked, and there were no signs of forced entry. After 30 minutes, he called the Port Moody Police Department at 5 p.m. to report his wife missing. The police took his concerns seriously right away. Port Moody Police Department, PMPD, officers responded immediately and began canvassing the neighborhood that same evening, looking for any signs of Trina, as well as checking home or business surveillance footage to piece together a timeline of when she was last seen. Scent dogs were even used in the surrounding area to pick up a trace of her, but all their efforts came up empty. There was no indication of why she left or where she went. Her friends and family were adamant that Trina would never just leave her life behind. From day one, they knew something was very wrong and pushed for answers immediately. Early on, the information they were receiving about Trina's disappearance didn't sit right with them. I've already mentioned the text messages that they believe Trina didn't actually send, but there are other things too, like the home security system. Not only was Trina a stickler for keeping that system armed and activated, but Ian's explanation for why he didn't set it also didn't make sense to them. Ian said he didn't set the system on the 17th because he didn't want to wake her up the following morning on the 18th. However, according to their website, TrinaHunt.com, the alarm system was down the hall from the bedroom, and at most, it would have made two quiet beeping sounds if activated or deactivated. That's why his explanation just didn't add up. Then there's the fact that Trina missed a phone appointment scheduled for 1 p.m. on the 18th. She wasn't the type of person to miss appointments, and if she ever had to, she would always let someone know. She would always provide an explanation for why she couldn't make it. Also, that weekend, Ian posted a meme on his Pinterest board that said, "Sorry if I offended you, but maybe you needed to be offended. Here's my apology," followed by an image of a little girl flipping off the camera. The timing of this post is odd, but it's also strange that Ian posted it at all, as he normally shared content like men's fashion and travel inspiration on his Pinterest. This was totally out of the norm. Lastly, others found it odd that Ian said they drove his BMW to the campsite in hope. Trina drove a Mercedes SUV, which was the car they typically used when traveling together. So why, all of a sudden, would they take his car? Not to mention, January 16th was a very cold day. This is January in Canada, after all. Usually whenever they go to the mountains in snowy and cold weather, they always took the biggest, most rugged and well-equipped car possible for the driving conditions. However, in the beginning, Ian's word was all that investigators, as well as her family and friends, had to go on. Without any sign of where Trina could be or what happened, the case was treated as a missing persons investigation from the start and nothing more. The initial investigation began on the night of January 18th. Since nothing turned up, the search efforts picked up again the next morning. PMPD officers, search and rescue crews, community volunteers, a helicopter, and canine units joined the search. The Heritage Mountain community was thoroughly scoured, as well as the deeply wooded areas surrounding it. One theory that emerged early on was that Trina had gone out for a walk, which didn't seem entirely impossible. PMPD officers went door-to-door asking for surveillance footage to help piece together Trina's movements from that weekend and build a timeline. They did manage to collect several hours of footage, but it's unclear to the public whether anything valuable was found. The search continued for a full 3 days. Then, on January 21st, the PMPD announced that the community ground search would be put on hold. However, they continued to encourage people to come forward with any information or surveillance footage. Authorities continued to investigate her disappearance, and as for Trina's friends and family, they were overwhelmed by support in those first few days. Those who knew Trina, and even those who didn't, came together to search for her. Everyone was blown away by their level of organization and sense of camaraderie.
Yeah, well, Well, it may be dark, it's very cold out, but that has not stopped the center that is here. They even have small fires going to keep the volunteers here, and it hasn't stopped the steady stream of people who have been arriving all day to offer assistance, to ask questions, to find out the latest information as concern continues to grow because it has been almost 4 days since Trina Hunt was last seen. Now, the community has taken up the effort, organized through Facebook, complete with a detailed map people can mark to note their search efforts there. Volunteers who arrive here are being asked to cover off particular areas.
They've highlighted different areas, so we'll be walking the neighborhood and finding any cameras that might have information that might have been missed, that people might not have checked already.
Volunteers and police are asking everyone to ensure they are prepared before heading out and say they have been overwhelmed with supplies, even saying they don't need any more.
Despite their own devastation and grief, while going through one of the hardest times of their lives, they still rallied together and encouraged the community to keep searching and fighting for Trina, just as she would have done for them. Trina's disappearance was classified as a missing persons case, and only a missing persons case. The PMPD not only confirmed that, but on January 22nd, they also made a statement saying they didn't believe foul play was involved. Then, a few weeks later, on February 17th, they made an additional statement basically repeating the same thing. In this statement, PMPD officials shared that, in addition to reviewing footage, conducting interviews, and following up on tips from the public, they also reached out to the RCMP's Integrated Homicide Investigation Team, IHID. IHIT is the largest homicide unit in Canada, responsible for investigating homicides, suspicious deaths, and high-risk missing persons cases where foul play is suspected. Unsurprisingly, by contacting IHID, the Port Moody police hoped to get assistance in Trina's disappearance, given IHIT's greater resources. However, IHIT shared in their statement that they did not think Trina's case fit their mandate for an investigation. In other words, the homicide team didn't believe there was enough evidence to suggest foul play was involved, so they wouldn't be investigating it as such. This did not stop Trina's friends and family from pushing the public to come forward with information. In their eyes, Trina had no mental health problems, no financial hardship, and there was nothing going on in her life that would make her just up and leave. On March 1, 2021, her family decided to hold their own press conference. Speaking on behalf of the family was Stephanie, Trina's cousin-in-law, who has continued to take on the role of spokesperson for the family. That day, she spoke about Trina and how their lives had been turned upside down by her disappearance. She said their anguish was unbearable, and it was simply impossible to function at times. Stephanie also read a statement from Ian, who notably wasn't in attendance. His statement reads, "The past 6 weeks since Trina's disappearance have been a devastating and incredibly difficult time for me and everyone who knows my wife. I feel the same frustration and incomprehension that her parents, family, and friends share in not knowing what has happened to Trina. I am confident that the police are doing all they can to solve this case, and I am hopeful that they will bring Trina home." Ian's absence from the press conference, his lack of participation in the search efforts, and his later decision not to attend a vigil for Trina have not gone unnoticed by the public. It's highly suspicious and strange, especially when everyone else in her life has been so outspoken and involved. In fact, on the same day as the press conference, Trina's family hung a large banner across an overpass in Rocky Point Park to help raise awareness of her disappearance. Additionally, a GoFundMe was started to help pay for independent search and rescue organizations like Please Bring Me Home, a nonprofit run primarily by volunteers to help search for missing persons across Canada. Their goal is to solicit anonymous tips on cold missing persons cases, find the missing, and bring them home. They also work with Black Tracks K9 Corporation, the only private K9 team with professional credentials to help with cadaver recovery, search, and rescue. March 10th was the day Ian's title and role as CEO of Clean Tech Service Group was terminated. While his LinkedIn profile said he was taking a sabbatical, Ian had been completely wiped from the company's website and social media platforms, leading many to wonder if there's more to that story. March 29, 2021, when two major things happened. First, IHIT made an announcement that a set of remains had been found south of Hope, British Columbia, near Silver Creek. These remains were one of three sets found in that area over the course of a week. At first, it wasn't mentioned that any of these remains belonged to Trina. The second major event that day was Ian appearing to move out of the house he shared with Trina, relocating to his parents' home in Mission, about an hour away. People don't know why he moved out, but it definitely fueled online speculation about him. First, he wasn't involved in anything. He wasn't helping look for her, and now he was moving away from the area. Very strange. Still, his actions or inactions did not stop Trina's family from pushing forward. On April 18th, a candlelight vigil was held in her honor. Without knowing where she was or what had happened, it was a chance for her loved ones to honor her life and pray for answers. Ian did not attend this vigil, which is very, very odd. However, on April 27th, he was spotted by neighbors for the first time in weeks, returning to the home he once shared with Trina. Every day felt like a lifetime for her family as they waited for answers, but fortunately, they didn't have to wait much longer. On May 1, 2021, the remains found near Hope, British Columbia, on March 29 were identified as Trina Hunt's. Her case was immediately reclassified as a homicide.
A tragic end in the search for Trina Hunt. Nearly 3.5 months after she was reported missing, homicide investigators confirmed that human remains found in Hope on March 29th are those of the 48-year-old Port Moody woman who had been missing since January. Hunt was last seen at her home around 6 a.m. on January 18th. Her husband reported her missing later that day when he returned home from work. Since her disappearance, police, search and rescue crews, and hundreds of volunteers have scoured the area around her Heritage Woods home in the hopes of finding her. Previously, Port Moody police said they did not believe foul play was involved in her disappearance. Now, a statement from IHIT says foul play is suspected in her death, and the team has reclassified the case as a homicide.
Clearly, you can't ignore the fact that Trina's remains were found in an area where Ian had said they went just days before he reported her missing. They drove to Hope without their phones, leaving no trace of where they went or what they did. And now, her remains were found in that approximate area. It's no surprise that this detail only fueled online speculation and confirmed what many people already believed, that Ian had killed his wife. Of course, Ian is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. The information might make this seem like an open and shut case, but it is still open and ongoing. To this day, no one has been charged with Trina's murder, and IHIT is still working diligently to bring her killer to justice. Once news of her body being found was made public, Trina's friends and family entered a new stage of grief. Now, instead of mourning the unknown, they were mourning the known. What they knew was unimaginable. How could someone as kind, loving, and caring as Trina be a victim of murder? The Port Moody community gathered in support of her family. For the next several days, they built a beautiful memorial outside her home, filling the lawn with balloons, purple tulips, her favorite flower, and pictures of the woman they knew and loved. Homicide investigators announced that no one was in custody in connection with her murder, but they recognized the seriousness and impact of her death and were working hard to solve the case. Then, on June 1st, Trina's family announced they were offering a $50,000 reward for any information leading to the arrest and charge of the person responsible for her murder. They were desperate for answers and hoped this reward would incentivize someone to come forward. By this point, her family expressed that they had no answers, no arrests, and no closure. Unfortunately, as of today, that remains true. IHIT Sergeant Frank Jen also shared the news of this reward in a press conference and asked for anyone with information to come forward. He said they are keeping their investigation airtight out of concern for public safety, but made it clear that they are working hard to solve her murder. In fact, investigators executed two search warrants on June 5, 2021, one at Trina and Ian's house in Port Moody, and a second at Ian's parents' home in Mayan, the place he moved to not long after her disappearance. Neighbors watched as officers taped off the house and came in and out throughout the day. Although it hasn't been reported what, if anything, was found during these searches, we do know that both Trina and Ian's cars were towed away as potential evidence. IHIT did announce on Twitter a day later that two search warrants had been executed, but no arrests had been made yet. Emphasis on yet, because 1 year later, on June 3, 2022, someone was arrested. But it may not be what you think. On June 3rd, neighbors watched as Ian was put in handcuffs outside his home and taken away by officers around 4 p.m.
Witnesses tell us the man in his slippers was quiet. He didn't struggle with police. Trina Hunt's family, stunned. Loved ones confirming it's Ian Hunt, Trina's husband.
I think they're just overwhelmed and actually relieved with everything that's come down today. Yeah. Every time you drive up the street, you look at the house, right? So
IHIT will only say one man has been arrested in connection to Trina's death. The arrest at the couple's Port Moody home Friday. No charges have been laid, so police are not releasing a name.
I think it is a sense of relief, yes. Yeah, just to know that somebody's caught.
Just happy, you know what I mean, that something's getting done and they have enough evidence.
Residents emotional after 1.5 years of no answers.
It's been 18 months of asking what happened, who did it, is it safe in our neighborhood for us and our kids? Like, is her family going to get answers? It's horrific.
Like you just heard, the police weren't saying who was arrested, just that someone had been. But obviously, neighbors saw him being arrested and word traveled fast. So everyone knew it was Ian who had been arrested. As exciting as this arrest seemed, it was over in the blink of an eye. A day later, on June 4th, with no pending charges, Ian was released from police custody. One sergeant with IHIT was quick to clarify that this did not signify the end of the investigation. It just meant that charges had not been filed, saying, just that we aren't there yet. Regardless, this was a devastating blow to Trina's family. For one day, they thought maybe, just maybe, justice was on the horizon. Trina's cousin-in-law, Stephanie, said that they never thought for a single minute that there would be no charges. However, she did say that she and the rest of the family know IHIT is working hard and wouldn't have made the arrest without a reason. The other devastating thing about the arrest and release was that it happened the week Trina would have turned 50 years old. She was so excited for her 50th. She was even planning her birthday party before she went missing. On her birthday, her brother shared this message. Today is the day Trina was so excited for. Trina had dreams of ringing in her 50th birthday by celebrating with an intimate party as well as taking a family cruise. She had already started talking and planning her events, as that is what Trina did. She was always such a planner. Trina had a knack and passion for making people feel loved and special. She was always fussing over others, bringing them drinks or appetizers, or filling their bellies with an elaborate feast. Her primary goal was always, is everyone comfortable? Is everyone happy? Once this was achieved, Trina could relax. That is what Trina would have done for her 50th birthday party. Even though it was her special day, she would have fussed over others. The more we learn about Trina Hunt, the sadder we all become for her friends and family. She just seemed like an incredible person. Her family has not given up hope, though, and I don't think any of us should either. They will find her killer someday. Please share with us what you feel about this case. Do you think that Ian was the one who could have been responsible for this? Or do you feel that he knows something about this and maybe put someone else up to doing it? Please tell me your thoughts below in the comments. Thanks for listening, and until next time, please be safe out there and watch out for yourself and others.